This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm 3-Pack, now extended until the end of August. Order today at EdenPure.com and don't forget to use code word Howie3.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up, named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Yes, it is the Grace Curley Show. We are back for another week. And we're excited to be here. Another week of crazy news, I'm sure, if this is any indication. Starting off Monday, Afghanistan is still the number one story. Despite Biden's chuckles and laughter and grins, he can't seem to get this out of the news. What's happening there is absolutely horrible. I'm actually looking at Fox News coverage of Kabul right now, and it's just deadly and dangerous and heartbreaking, really. There's a lot of people in the mainstream media finally criticizing Biden. I want to remind everyone that this presidency is brought to you, not in part, but brought to you by the mainstream media. They are responsible for this. They're responsible for Joe Biden, because I truly believe if there was fair coverage and America really knew what we were getting into, then even those voters who are Trump deranged would have known better than to do this. This man is unfit, and he's incompetent, and he's losing his mind. And I say that, you know, not trying to be funny. He's clearly losing his mind. He's not remembering things, and it's getting worse and worse. Nothing he's saying is calming any fears. He comes out, and I have to say, as bad as it looks to be on vacation, I agree with my caller from last week who was like, you know, maybe he can do less damage at Camp David. Maybe he can do less damage walking the dogs than he does when he's at the White House. And we're going to get to all of that. We have a lot of great cuts to play here from his back and forth with reporters over the weekend. It's really interesting to watch, and Ben Shapiro pointed this out today. It's going to be interesting to see if they stay strong on this, because it's really hard for these journalists. I should use air quotes there. It's really hard for these journalists to be mean to Joe Biden. You know, it goes against everything they've been doing for the last 2-3 years, or I guess you could say the last 50 years of Joe Biden's career. You know, they've treated him with kid gloves, and for good reason. He has a glass jaw. He does not like being criticized. But the criticism is pretty much coming from everywhere now, from CNN even. Jim Acosta is, you know, he's still trying to make his best case. He had on someone this weekend, and he kept saying, you know, it's kind of Trump's fault. He kept going back to that. You know, they're like addicts. They go back here to this place of comfort. You know, oh, we can blame Trump for this, but it's really looking like that is not going to work. Miranda Devine has a great piece in the New York Post, and we're going to go through it, and we're going to play the sound that accompanies it. She really breaks down how bad this situation is and how Joe Biden. He's not going to get cover anymore from the press. They're over it. We also have a lot of news, though, because COVID hypocrisy. I was thinking about it over the weekend, and I'm like, you know, I think I need a new word for hypocrisy, because when I'm writing and when I'm talking, I'm using it so often, and it doesn't really encompass what we're seeing now. You know, it's worse. There's got to be a word that kind of goes more over and above hypocrisy. And that's what we're witnessing. I mean, Nancy Pelosi hosting a fundraiser for a bunch of rich, old white people in Napa. No masks, elbow to elbow, eating some fancy food. The servers, they have masks on. Don't worry. The servers have masks on, but nobody else. And then you've got Chuck Schumer and Stephen Colbert dancing, you know, while all this is happening in Afghanistan, because Stephen Colbert cares so much. Remember how much of an activist he was during the Trump years? He's out there dancing. He doesn't even have the decency to commit to the theater and at least throw a mask on while he's dancing with Chuck Schumer. So Chuck Schumer dancing is cringeworthy enough. That's something no one should have to see. But then on top of that, you've got Chuck Schumer's got the mask on. Stephen Colbert doesn't. They're dancing around for this New York City concert. I think it's supposed to save New York. I was in New York over the weekend. Let me tell you, it's going to take more than Stephen Colbert and Chuck Schumer doing a little dance to save that place. It needs more. We need to bring in the top dogs. This is not going to do it. Oh my God, this is amazing. So Miranda Devine, who I'm reading from, she's on Fox right now and she's talking about this. So let's get right to it. And I'll take your calls for this hour, 844-500-4242. We do have Frank Mendoza calling in at 12:30 about the mask mandates in Boston. Really great show planned. And then Dr. Nan Hayworth in the 2 o'clock hour to go over COVID and some of this insanity. I can't believe what we're seeing out of Australia. There's just so much to cover. But for right now, let's get into this. This is from the New York Post. Joker Joe Biden can't laugh this Afghanistan debacle off. I completely agree. Now, she says the laughter was so off kilter, it made you wonder if Joe Biden had taken leave of his senses during his mini press conference Sunday. Americans are trapped behind enemy lines in Afghanistan. Our troops at Kabul airport are faced with an uncontrollable surge of people so desperate to escape, they are dying in the crush. America has suffered its worst self-inflicted humiliation, and the free world is less safe, all because of his dumb decisions. And he laughs, a cold, inappropriate laugh, muscle memory deployed as a political weapon by a man operating on empty. The first bout of hilarity came in response to a question from CBS News' reporter Ed O'Keefe. One of the four questions Biden allowed from a pre-approved list of reporters in the White House 7 days after the fall of Kabul. Now, this is something Biden does all the time. He takes questions from a pre-approved list. And I was thinking about this on Friday. We had a show at the 110 Grill. Thank you to everyone who came out. Really fun time. And we were playing. That was the first time on Friday Biden took questions about Afghanistan. So we're all kind of waiting to see what he's going to say. And he takes out this list. And I thought, you know, if he had even a little bit of sharpness left, just a tiny bit, the basic amount of, you know, I can pull one over on people, they would give him the list, you know, Mary from ABC, Zeke from AP, whoever he thinks is going to really be the worst journalist in the room and ask him about ice cream. Those are the people on the list. And I mentioned this on Friday. I said, if you are on the list of reporters he's willing to take questions from, you should be ashamed of yourself. You should hand in your credentials that day, because that is pathetic. But I was thinking, you know, even if he just had a little bit of subtlety, he could go read the list and then go out there and say, all right, let's go ahead, Zeke. And then people wouldn't know he had a list. But he can't even do that. He takes out the list and announces every single time, I have been given a list. I will read the names from this list. Not that any of us are surprised, but I mean, it really is pathetic. So the first reporter he goes to is Ed O'Keefe. And the question is if he trusts the Taliban. A swaggering, streetwise smile swept his face. I love that description because we all know that smile. You know, that grin he gives, like he's been around the block. I'm no chump, it said. After he and his naive national security team were taken for chumps by those Stone Age Islamists. Now let's play. This is when he's asked if he trusts the Taliban. Cut 25.
For a war that in fact is no longer warned.
On the question of the Taliban, though, do you trust them now that you have to negotiate with them?
I don't trust anybody, including you. I love you, but you know, there's not a lot of people I trust.
His chuckles began when O'Keefe apologetically asked about a new CBS YouGov poll that everyone's seen at this point that shows a majority of Americans disapprove of the way he has handled the Afghanistan exit. Now, this is pathetic as far as Ed O'Keefe. He has a decent question, but listen to the way he sets this up. And I want to pause it after we hear him set this up. Cut 26.
Do you now trust them? And then a question on the public response. A new poll out today shows Americans wanted to withdraw from Afghanistan, but they disapprove of the way you've handled it. The poll also found that based in part on what's transpired in the last week, the majority of Americans, forgive me, I'm just the messenger, no longer consider you to be competent, focused, or effective in the job.
Forgive me, I'm just the messenger. You people, you reporters are so pathetic. It blows my mind. You're apologizing because for the first time in like 6 years, you're actually doing your jobs. Because this man, the emperor, has no clothes and you're apologizing for pointing out, sir, you don't have any underpants on. That's what's happening here. This is absolutely pathetic. Grow up is how I'll put it. Grow up. I mean, the weakness of these reporters. I'm just the messenger, please, sir. Please tell Jen Psaki when her mother-in-law bakes cookies to please still give me one. I'm just the messenger. Yeah, you're a pathetic messenger at that, my good friend. All right, let's hear his response.
The majority of Americans, forgive me, I'm just the messenger, no longer consider you to be competent, focused, or effective in the job.
I haven't seen that poll.
I haven't seen that poll, said Biden, shaking his head with a half smirk. It's out there, said O'Keefe from CBS This Morning. This led Biden to burst out laughing. Let's play this part. Cut 27.
It's out there from CBS This Morning. what would you say to those Americans who no longer believe these?
Look, I had a basic decision to make.
All right, let's pause it there. Miranda Devine writes in the New York Post, this led Biden to burst out laughing, which we just heard. What was funny? If the mirth was a face-saving performance, it was appallingly ill-judged. He looked down at the cue cards he cannot survive without and began reciting, look, I had a basic decision to make. He went on to reel off a raft of widely accepted reasons for ending the war. But this is not in dispute, as he well knows every time he slyly answers the question no one has asked. That's one of my pet peeves about Joe Biden, is that he never answers the actual question. Which is typical of a politician, but his is just, it's so obviously deceitful, like the stuff he answers. No one asked that. Sometimes when he goes off on these tangents, I want to say, whoa, hold on, pause. That's all good. No, we get it. But can you back up? Can you answer the actual question? No one's disputing that we should have probably at, you know, some point pulled out of Afghanistan. Some people say we should have done it 10 years ago, 20 years ago. We should have never gone in. That's just some other people say. But that's not what we're asking here. We're asking about the sloppy withdrawal. And he knows it. Which always makes me laugh, because as out of it as he is, he still has enough sneakiness, enough old school political sneakiness to avoid ever answering a question. We will finish. We have more cuts from this, more to read from Miranda Devine. Really a great piece in the New York Post. And I will take your calls. I see you guys on the lines already, 844-500-4242. Happy to take your calls on this. We have a lot to discuss, and we are going to discuss the mask mandate coming back to Boston at the end of this week. It's such an emergency that we could wait 7 days. That was the recurring question I kept getting from friends over the weekend. Wait, hold on. How come we can wait a week?
Well, we had to get through the puddles first.
That is
true. One crisis at a time, Grace.
You didn't drive through any giant puddles this weekend, did you, Jared?
Just to spite the governor, I drove through two of them. Of course, I had to drive to New York to find them, but I still did it.
You know, during these hurricanes, we are told don't drive through giant puddles. You know what we can look forward to when it snows? Do not eat the yellow snow. These are the kind of tips we get in Massachusetts from our Governor Charlie Baker / Parker. All right, we'll be back with your calls, your questions, and we have a lot more sound to play and a lot more of Joe Biden to get through. Don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. Before we get to more of these cuts here, let's go to the calls. Christopher, you're next with Grace on The Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Christopher.
Grace, I'm a little bit concerned about this open letter that is circulating by state legislators, and Charlie Parker was talking about the need to accept Afghan refugees. I'm not against helping people who are in need, but we have thousands of small business owners in this state who continue to be ravaged by COVID. They haven't had their PPP loans forgiven in many cases. They're going bankrupt. Why is it that we always have to extend a helping hand to people outside Massachusetts and not focus on the people who are already here?
Well, I think you do bring up good points there, but I think in some of these cases, Christopher, and I always say this, but I think it's important to note, I'm not a foreign policy expert, but a lot of these people in Afghanistan, they fought with the idea that we had their backs. You know, we gave them our word, and it might not be the financially smart thing to do, or, you know, and I am going to say we need to vet people. We should always be vetting people we bring into the country. But as far as people who are really put in a horrible situation because of our incompetent president, there's a great piece today in Substack where Peter Savadik said, you know, it's not about anything besides it being the honorable thing to do, which I know is not something a lot of people want to hear when it puts a financial burden on them. And, you know, it can be kind of scary safety wise. And I acknowledge all that. I think we need to vet it. I think, you know, there needs to be a system in place, but you have translators, you have people who really for 20 years fought and gave a commitment knowing that America had their backs, and it just feels wrong to leave those people in the dust. And you see the videos, and it's a debate to be had. I'm not arguing that. It's a debate to be had. But you see the videos of these moms with their babies throwing them over the barbed wire fences, and these young girls, you know, scared of getting raped or beheaded or whatever's going to happen to them. And it's just, it feels like in a lot of situations, I understand when people say we're not, you know, the babysitters of the world, where we can't save everybody and all this. But in this case, we were in there for 20 years. We kind of, at this point, we have to own this. And it feels to me really wrong to leave people in the lurch like that. And that's putting it in a very mild way. But I hope that makes sense, Christopher. Do you know what I mean? I'm not trying to say I don't see your point, but I see both sides of it.
I agree, but I think that we need to be able to walk and chew gum at the same time, because in Massachusetts particularly and other Northeast states, so much time is being spent on helping people before this Afghan crisis, whether it's illegal aliens and driver's licenses. And I'm not against helping the people who helped the United States and its allies, but we have to draw a line somewhere. You can't have the southern border completely open, helping millions of people come here illegally, whilst at the same time being able to help people who might be in legitimate need, whether they're from Afghanistan having helped us, or whether they're people who live here and who really need their businesses and livelihoods saved.
Yeah, no, I think you make all great points. And I think what I noticed too about how our southern border is just completely open is that when I look to Afghanistan, I'm like, these are people in real danger. These are refugees who really need help. And I'm sure there are plenty of cases where you see the same thing at the southern border. I know people are desperate. But it does feel like how can you accept one and not the other? Thank you for the call, Christopher. I appreciate it. And I appreciate you bringing up Massachusetts. I know Christopher's from Cambridge and small businesses, because our next guest, Frank Mendoza, has a restaurant in the North End, Monica's, and it's on Prince Street, and he's going to come on. I've already warned him. I said, you know, he gets fired up, Frank, and I understand why. He went viral because at the very beginning of this pandemic, he was like, I don't understand what we're doing here. Like, we cannot risk. We have to be able to risk things in order to live our lives. And it went viral because he just was speaking the truth when a lot of people wouldn't. And the mask mandate is coming back on Friday, I believe. And so I immediately thought of Frank. And I said, I'm going to have you on, Frank, but I don't want to get the dump button ready. And he said, no, I'll hold back. But I can assure you it's going to be good radio coming up next. Don't go anywhere. 844-500-4242. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Now, I know it's hard to keep up with the COVID-19 guidelines and mandates and sanctions and whatever else they're coming up with. And everything changes, you know, the science evolves. Last week we found out that plexiglass, despite what you might think, doesn't actually help prevent COVID. It could, help spread COVID. Now, there's all these sorts of announcements, and then all the while, you have videos of Nancy Pelosi having these huge fundraisers, people elbow to elbow, toasting Speaker Pelosi, Speaker Marie Antoinette Nancy Pelosi. And you have Chuck Schumer, you know, dancing with a mask on, with a maskless Stephen Colbert. It's all very hard to follow, but maybe I just don't understand. Maybe I'm not sophisticated enough to understand how these rules work. But what's happening here in Boston, we are based out of Boston, and I want to keep you guys informed because a lot of people do not follow it anymore. I said to a lot of people this weekend, what do you think about the mask mandates coming back next Friday? And people said, I didn't hear about that. Where? I said, in Boston. Oh, so like you got to wear them back into restaurant? Yeah. Yeah. You got to wear them when you're dancing. You got to wear them in the nightclubs. I've been reading about it. I've been calling places, seeing if they're going to stand up and do this or if they're going to actually stand up and say, no, we're not going to do this. Now, I want to play the acting mayor. She was the one who decided this on Friday. There's no data to back this up. There's no statistics. The deaths in Massachusetts, at least yesterday, were zero from COVID. So there's really nothing here except for theater and virtue signaling from acting mayor Kim Janey. And I guess maybe trying to pander to the crazy Karen constituency in Boston. Now let's play Kim Janey, and then I'm going to bring on my next guest.
This public mask mandate will help limit transmission of the Delta variant and boost public confidence that is essential to our continued economic recovery. I commend the venues and the businesses that have already adopted their own mask requirements. This new public health order makes wearing a mask simple, clear, and consistent across the city. If you are inside a building that is open to the public, wear your mask. If you are not eating or drinking, wear your mask. This public health order will go into effect on Friday, August 27th, 2021.
There's nothing clear and consistent about any of this. And especially if you're a business owner, if you own a restaurant, then you know that. Joining me now, I had to get that all out because once I hand the mic over to Frank, I don't know if I'm going to get many words in here. Frank, thank you so much for coming on the show. This is Frank Mendoza. He's the owner of Monica's in the North End on Prince Street. Frank, what are your thoughts on this new mandate?
I don't understand the new mandate. I don't understand why it starts at Friday, 8 o'clock. If they're so concerned about well-being, why didn't it start immediately?
Yeah, no, I agree. Do you think that... I asked you this on Friday, Frank, when we talked. I said, do you think people will follow this? And you said, yes, you think people will comply.
Yeah, I think that people will comply. You know, we're in a very... I don't know how to say it, but you know, we're in a city that the people who are in charge, a lot of the people believe in them, you know, and so do I. But I just, you know, I feel like we should be at this point, let live and let live. You know, I don't want to impose my feelings upon anybody, and I don't want anybody's feelings be, you know, like set upon me. You know.
Yeah, but Frank, I'm going to push back here for a second. You say you believe in these in these leaders. I don't anymore. I don't at all.
No, I don't believe in them. I said that the people that live here believe in these leaders. I don't believe in these leaders.
All right,
I mean,
good.
I believe in one leader, honey, and it's God, okay? And I have a business here, okay, that I need to run, okay? It's been a very hard time running it, okay, with the restrictions that they gave us. Now I can't find people to employ, okay? People are not coming in to work, so I'm having a hard time doing that. It's very discouraging to actually open up any business in the city of Boston right now. Okay, you know, we just announced that we're not going to be opening up in North Station. Okay, because North Station right now is not the same North Station that was prior to the COVID.
Yeah.
Okay, so I need my you know, I would love for my leaders, like you said, or the people who lead us, okay, to if they're so, you know, concerned about my well-being, okay, I want them to speak up for me too. All right, because I can't conduct business in this manner. You know, and it's hard for anybody to conduct business in this matter. I'm also a resident of North End, okay? I'm not too keen with having parking spots taken away from people, okay? Because I actually live here. I'm a resident here. I park on these streets, okay? So, and another thing, too, if they're so concerned about our well-being, then why has everything been the same the way it's been? I never caught COVID. I have the vaccine. All right? Wash your hands, okay? Make sure you don't get germs like any time, okay, in any flu season, and let's carry on, okay? If you have any underlying condition, you should know about it by now.
You know? Frank, let me ask you this. Now, I knew I could call you, and I knew you would be outspoken about this because there's probably a handful of people that I know of that, you know, either went viral on social media or were on the local news, you know, standing up against these mandates from the very beginning. I mean, you were one of the first people out there on Prince Street telling the camera crews, listen, this is ridiculous. And a lot of regular people agreed with you. Right now, this second time around, are you hearing from more restaurant owners? Are people fed up? Are people saying, are people calling, you know, Charlie Baker or Kim Janey and saying, this cannot happen again?
To tell you the truth, I don't know. You know, I do talk to a few of the people that live, you know, that work, you know, and own businesses here. And, you know, and people are scared because we don't know, like, we think this is going to be the beginning. So this is, first we're going to do the mask, then there's going to be the plastic, then there's going to be 6 feet social distancing, and then maybe we'll have to be closed down again. That's what the, like the routine is. I've been told by people that work for the city and for the state that there's not going to be another shutdown, you know, but they don't know. You know what I mean? They say most likely it won't happen, but most likely means doesn't mean yes or no.
Right.
Okay. And to tell you the truth, I actually think I'm actually sometimes shocked that a small business owner like myself, on the bottom of the toll, right, is the only one that speaks out.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm totally shocked. I'm totally shocked about all these big restaurant group people and out there and like saying, "Guys, are you kidding me? Okay, we can't conduct business." You know how hard it is to conduct business with all these regulations and with all this fear? You know, we're going to come into the winter months, okay? All right, fall's pretty good around here, but now we're going to get the winter months, and people are scaring people. You see people with masks on, you know? And I want them to feel like if they have to, put them on. Because, you know what I mean? Because what I said a year ago was how I felt, okay? How I wanted to be left alone. You know what I mean? That's it. All right. I want to be able to conduct business as usual. Because if not, it's hard for a person like myself to conduct business when there's no way to employ because people are not working, okay? And you can't get people inside. They made this neighborhood into a one-street destination, okay? There's people packed on top of each other. I don't care if you're outside or inside. You can catch the flu and you can catch COVID outside and you can catch it inside. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense that on Friday at 8 o'clock, who came up with this number? 8 o'clock? It's the middle of the night. So what's what happened? At 8 o'clock, everybody's supposed to turn it into a pumpkin?
No, right. And Frank, the other part of this I want to ask you about is she says that it makes it very clear and people are going to understand exactly what they have to do. Now, I have a younger sister and she's, you know, she goes out to the bars on the weekends. And she said, how are the bartenders? And I know your restaurants are sit down restaurants where you have a full meal. But there's a lot of places in Boston in the nightlife where the kids or, you know, 21, 22, 23 year olds go. Now, are the bartenders expected to kind of like see somebody actively drinking and then they stop drinking and they go to talk to someone and they say, you have to put your mask on? I mean, it doesn't seem as clear and, you know, awesome as Kim Janey wants us to think it is.
I don't know. I don't know if she's doing this. You know, I don't know if she's doing it just for the cameras, but it's nonsense. And if I owned a bar or a nightclub in the city, I'd be getting ready to close down. Because if they're telling you if you're not having a drink, you have to have your mask on. So if you're not taking a sip out of your drink, you have to have your mask on. There's no way of implicating it. And if I show you a vaccination card on my phone that's a picture, you could easily duplicate it. It doesn't make sense. I mean, so, you know, I don't know what directions they're going. I don't know how they're running the city, you know, but I know how I have to run my business, and it's impossible, all right, understaffed, okay, to check who has a drink in their lips and who doesn't. You know what I mean? So I don't understand it. I don't get it. You know, I know how many people they have in the licensing, the cops and, you know, the detectives in the city of Boston. There's only two of them for the whole city of Boston. Does anybody know that?
No.
No. All right, well, that's the truth. You know what I mean? I'm going to probably get, you know, hung for that, but that's the truth. All right, there's only two. And the last time I spoke out in a neighborhood meeting, it was a safety neighborhood meeting. And I sat there for almost an hour hearing my residents that made all legitimate points, because they were legitimate points, okay? There's no speed bumps. There's nowhere to park. There's crap all over the floor. You know what I mean? Everything. Every point they made were dead on. But they pointed at the wrong, they've pointed the finger at the wrong people. They blame the restaurants, the police, the fire department, and Boston Transportation. Okay? And the whole table of politicians were there, and not one person blamed it on them except me. Okay? And the next day, I had to give up one of my parking spots, which is my patio. I was given three patio spots, and the next day, okay, I had them come to my restaurant at 10:30 at night and said, there's something wrong with your patio, okay? And they took a parking spot away. I have to give it back to them on August 30th. Awesome. September 30th, I don't know what day, but I have to give it back.
No, Frank,
now,
I want to ask you.
I'm the only one on my block, right? There's two restaurants on my block, okay? The one restaurant up the street has three spots, okay? The guy around the corner has three spots. Okay, but the guy who spoke out now is only going to be able to have two spots. You know what I mean? So this is what we're working with. You know, I want to be compliant. I want to be fair. But people got to be fair with us. The government has to be fair with us.
Frank Mendoza owns Monica's on Prince Street in the North End. Frank, if you could say one thing to these politicians, these political leaders on behalf of restaurants, and I know you only like to speak for yourself. So on behalf of Monica's, what would you tell them?
Leave us alone. That's it. Let us be. There's other places in the country that they've done it. They have their COVID results. I mean, they have their COVID people. I mean, you know, luckily for me, I haven't caught it. I might be able to catch it because now they say with the two vaccines, you're going to be able to catch it. So I'm in the same risk as everybody else is. Okay? I want to be left alone. I want to press rewind. That's it. That's what I want to do. I want to press rewind. I want to go back to how it was prior to this. Because I'm tired of it. I'm tired of watching stuff on TV. Tired. That's it.
Yeah. No, and Frank, my heart goes out to you. You know that we love your restaurant. We're always telling people to go to Monica's, and we're going to keep talking about this. You know, we're going to keep fighting on behalf of these restaurants because they're getting screwed, and it's not right, and they're breaking people. They're breaking people's spirits.
Keep on fighting, and I'm going to fight for the behalf of my family and my business.
Thank you.
If I'm going to be the only one standing there by myself, I'll do it.
Thank you, Frank. We appreciate you calling in and always telling us how you feel. All right, guys, we'll take your calls on this. I'm sure people have opinions on what they just heard from Frank Mendoza, what you're hearing from your friends who maybe own businesses or their parents own businesses, their families own businesses, what people are thinking about doing this again. I think Frank hit the nail on the head that people see the writing on the wall. That, you know, masks are back, but then it's plexiglass, and then it's arrows on the floor, and then it's the shutdowns. People can feel it, and it's incredibly frustrating. I can't imagine how business owners feel. 844-500-4242. We'll take all your calls in the next segment. So call in, weigh in. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Grace Curley. She's the cool kid at the lunch table.
I want a hamburger. No, a cheeseburger. I want a hot dog. I want a milkshake. I want potato chips.
You'll get nothing and I can.
This is The Grace Curley Show.
Today's poll question is brought to you by CapeLily.com. 100% natural soaps, perfect for sensitive skin. Handcrafted in small batches with Cape Cod sea salt. These are one of my favorite sponsors. These soaps are amazing. I actually have to re-up my supply on these because they smell so good. They leave your skin feeling really fresh and moisturized without that sticky after soap feeling. Buy local and save your skin with these moisturizing chemical-free soaps. Tons of different smells that you can pick from. Really, really great product. Love your soap, love your skin. Go to CapeLily.com. That's Lily with two L's, CapeLily.com. Jared Diglio, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Besides Joe and Kamala, who's the weakest link? Lloyd Austin, Anthony Blinken, John Kirby, General Milley, or Jake Sullivan?
Oh, it's so tough.
That is a who's who of...
Kirby's got really... He's climbing in the polls because every time I see him... I mean, it's just a disaster. Like, he looks like he has no idea what's going on. But also, Anthony Blinken, he's pretty bad, too. I'm going to say, I'll probably switch this later. I'm going to say Kirby is the weakest link.
John Kirby polling only at 6% in the lead, 43% for Antony Blinken, General Milley polling at 32%, 14% say Lloyd Austin, and 5% say Jake Sullivan.
All right, 71 says, I'm just going to walk around Boston sipping a big gulp everywhere I go and be like, what? I'm drinking. Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I think I've tried that before on planes. You just keep sipping your drink, but they catch on eventually. Let's go to George. You're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, George.
Hey, Grace. How you doing? Great job.
Thank you.
Really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
Hey, so Grace, I wear my mask, you know, like when appropriate, you know, if I'm like in a crowd or something like that. But what I don't get is this whole zero death thing. And what I'd love to see, personally, is like a study on how CO2, you know, affects pH in the human body.
Because yeah.
Our kidneys and our lungs regulate our acid-base balance. That's why when, you know, Howie takes Balance 7, he can do those 3 bike rides a day. But your lungs are the other side of that. So if you're retaining CO2, it's going to affect your pH. That's not anything. That's not rocket science. That's not new science. That's, I don't want to say settled science, but it's certainly well known.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, I remember all the YouTube videos of people putting on 52 masks and saying, look, my O2 saturation, but it doesn't go down, but it's not about your O2 saturation. It's about ventilating, which is CO2. So acidosis isn't really a great thing for the human body. So, I mean, I'd love to see that study if somebody's willing to do that and publish that. But
well, George, I think you made a lot of great points there. And I think something that is kind of leading in that direction as far as masks go is that new studies were coming out last week about plexiglass and how because they kind of prevented proper ventilation, it could actually increase the spread of COVID. I'm not saying the same thing happens with masks, but I'm just saying that all of this science based off these supposedly helpful things end up taking a turn at some point. And I think that's worth talking about. I think that you're absolutely right. That should be looked into. I'm not one of those people that claims to be a doctor on the radio, but I do notice when I have my mask on, I tend to get headaches. I tend to feel a little bit nauseous, and I only have to wear them for short periods of time. I have to wear one at the airport over the weekend, but most people have to wear them a lot lately. And I would like to know if people notice that they're feeling, you know, they don't feel as energetic because they're a little bit dizzy from wearing this mask constantly. It's a really good point, George. I appreciate the call. We'll take more of these calls. I know people want to talk about the masks and the mandates in Boston. 844-500-4242. We'll also be back with more of those Biden cuts and news on Afghanistan. Don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.